A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
And as we promised, joining us this morning, Julie Wisenhorn and John Trappe, both from the University of Minnesota. Good morning, Julie and John.
Good morning, Denny. Hi, everyone.
Hey there.
Good morning.
And John is with us as well. As we mentioned earlier, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we mean that both because John graces us from once in a while on his busy schedule. So if you have any kind of a turf question, and Julie is kind of glad John is with us today, too, because, you know, once in a while we get these kind of tough questions for as far as, you know, grasses, lawns. And it's great to have John back with Julie today. You know, I was thinking of our title here. I'm thinking of like a law firm.
Oh, my goodness.
It was yesterday. I think about these crazy things at crazy times, and I think of Wisenhorn, Trappe, and Long, attorneys for plant. Let's see, what was it?
Attorneys.
Yes, I thought that. for plant repair, or whatever. Anyway,
need a hobby.
Tell me about it. 651-461-9226. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, help us. Call it in or text it in. We already, in fact, as you guys know, we get texts early on Saturday morning before our show even starts, and today's no exception. In fact, let me get things underway, then we won't get too far behind here. Listener wants to know, can I put older potting soil in the depressions I have and sow seed?
Presumably, yeah, I would think it's probably in the lawn. Generally, that's not a good idea. The only reason why you wouldn't want to use potting soil is just in case you've got a different soil type below it. So what you can do is you can use compost to try to gradually raise that site, because the compost will break down and mix well with the soil that's already in place. But, you know, quite frankly, it's not going to, if this is just a really small area, I say go for it and try it out. But for larger areas, if you change the soil type, it may change how that soil drains because of the different soil types. So oftentimes that's why we recommend not mixing, two different soil types together.
Okay. Listener wants to know, is it too late now to trim our smoke bush tree?
Well, the smoke bush tree is going to be blooming in the summer. You can probably still prune it, sure. Yeah, okay. I think so. That would be great.
All right. This listener says, good morning. We just built a new home, good for you, and are getting ready to plant grass seed on a freshly graded yard. Could you explain the best process for starting a lawn? Thank you.
Well, if you've got exposed soil and you're looking to seed that area with grass seed, the best thing that you can do is to use some kind of germination or erosion control blankets. Those are rolls. You may have seen them in big box stores or garden centers. of blankets or some kind of netted straw. That's going to hold the seed in place. It's also going to retain moisture and just allow the lawn to establish better. That would be, I would not skimp or skip out on that process. That's probably one of the most critical. The other thing is as you're growing the lawn in, make sure you're not using a crabgrass preventer or pre-emergent herbicide because that would affect the grass seed. The other thing is just to keep the seedlings watered as they're growing up. They may need to be watered 2, 3, 4 times a day, depending upon the weather, or not at all if it's cool and moist. So you just want to make sure the seedlings don't dry out, typically until about the second or third mowing. And then after that, you know, the root systems are established enough, but you may still have to water sparingly, but those are the big steps there.
You've answered all their other questions. In fact, the only other one is, do we need to remove all the rocks first?
Yeah, that might help with like a mowing. You know, if you have rocks bigger than, say, you know, a golf ball or a tennis ball size, a tennis ball size is what I would be most concerned about. But especially if they're more on the surface, you know, that might be a problem for mowing or people walking or playing in the area in the future.
Julie, I'm looking at a text that came in a few minutes ago asking, is it safe to plant vegetables for eating in a galvanized raised bed tank?
Yeah, that's perfectly safe. There are a lot of good good uses for the stock tank, they're called, when you go to purchase them. You want to be sure that there are holes in the bottom of it. So that takes a little, some tools to actually drill holes in the bottom of that tank. You want to make sure it drains really well, and that's the reason for that. So if you just planted it straight into a stock tank with no holes, eventually that would get very waterlogged, and you wouldn't be successful in growing anything. So as long as it has good drainage, you can certainly use that.
Let's see here. I'm looking at a text that I'm going to alert our listener who sent the text. It ranges about 15 different places, and I can't piece it together. I think a lot of people, they type a little sentence, and they send it, and then they type another one, and they send it.
Sure.
So it jumps all over, and it's not going to. Julie, I think maybe you and John have both seen that when we were in studio.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it's hard to piece together. So if... Mickey, if you hear me, send a text, but just write it all in one paragraph. That helps it easier because I can't piece it together. All right. I need to move some tulips and hostas this weekend due to construction. The tulip leaves are up about 8 inches. Can I put them in a pot for this season and replant after the construction is done?
Yes, I think you could successfully do that. The issue will be actually keeping them after they bloom. You can keep them in the pot, water them, and then go ahead and let them dry after, you know, take them out of the pot and after they die back. And then you can go ahead and plant them again. So as far as the hosta goes, yeah, you could certainly, if you can find the hosta, mine are not up yet, so I don't see any little spears coming up. But if you have to move those, you can move those now.
Looking at another text that says this, one night last week, the temperature dipped to 18 degrees. I had dormant seeded last fall and had seedlings already emerging in a few areas that get something. Should I fertilize the new grass is their question.
I would consider fertilizing right now. We're very close to when you know, when basically those root systems are going to be established enough to be able to use that fertilizer. I think you could probably go at any time at this point going forward. Okay. You know, provided you know you're not in the top third of Minnesota and you know soil temperatures are still too low and things are not growing. But right around the time right when you're close to mowing the lawn for the first time, that's about right around the ideal time to go out and fertilize.
Very good. Tell you what, let's do. Let's take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you can call it in or text it in. 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here. If you're just joining us, Julie Wisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M are answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. And we have a bunch. So let's get back to it. 5 years ago, texter says, we planted an oak tree about 10 feet tall. It had done quite well. Is it too late in the year to prune off some small branches on the bottom?
Well, we have a time frame for pruning oaks, and it goes from about November through the end of March. And the reason for that is because oak wilt becomes more commonly a higher risk for oak wilt starts in April, early April, so about now, and goes through, the high risk is through mid-July, and then the lower risk is up until from July to November. So if there are not a lot of oaks around, if you're the only oak in the neighborhood, so to speak, you could go ahead and prune those. I think it would be okay if they're very small branches, like if they're just little twigs. But any significant cut to that oak tree puts it at risk for oak wilt. So if you can wait, that'd be great. If it's just kind of an aesthetic thing and you're irritated by them, just maybe back off and just wait and do it in the winter. That's the safest bet.
Very good. John, I'm looking at a text that says this. I seeded my back lawn last year and laid down a protective straw blanket that is not biodegradable. I waited too long, could not remove it after the grass grew. Will it be okay to leave it, do you think?
Yeah, excuse me. Most of those nets will still break down if there is the netting. I presume that's what they're referring to. Those will still end up breaking down, just they sometimes take a little bit longer. If it's not getting caught in a mower or it's tripping you, if you walk across it or anything like that, I wouldn't really be at all concerned about it. The metal sod staples could probably be picked up if you can still find them. But otherwise, that will all just break down, except for of course the sod staples. But that'll break down, and you know, another year or so, you probably won't even be able to find it.
Okay. Julie, this texter wants to know, is it too early to uncover all my perennials, or should I just do the tulips and the like?
Well, we're getting into a pretty warm section of April, and according to Mark Seeley's Weather Talk, Minnesota, which is a great blog about, comes out every Friday, you can find that on the university site, we're going into slightly warmer than normal, or normal temperatures for April. So I think you could probably go ahead and start uncovering your perennials. If you're concerned at all, or if you want to utilize the leaves that are on there as mulch, just push them aside as you see the perennials come up, and just use it as a natural mulch. So it's a nice way to reuse those leaves instead of having to haul them all off your property. And then also, those leaves will break down and add carbon into the soil. So I would just push that leaf litter aside as you see the plants come up. It's a lot less work.
All right. This listener sent a text and says this, should I top cover with grass seed in my lawn where we have some bare spots, let it grow for a couple of weeks, and then apply fertilizer, or the other way around?
I don't think you can go wrong if you're really just trying to thicken up a couple of thin areas. If you wanted to target those thinner areas and just fertilize the seedlings, you could do that. It's really just, that's kind of a tough call. I don't really think you could go wrong with that strategy. I would definitely try to seed as soon as possible, though. We're getting to the point now where everything that you're going to do to promote the grass seed is also going to promote annual grassy weeds like crabgrass. So at this point, it's just going to be a little bit of a challenge, even if you were to seed right now and, the grass is not going to get quite that head start above those annual grassy weeds. But give it a shot. I don't think for the small, thin areas, I think that's a pretty good strategy, but good luck.
Very good. This listener said they had a lot of vole damage. Where can I get good grass seed to regrow new grass without getting crabgrass? Let's talk a little bit about purchasing grass seed, the good
stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, the first thing that I would do is we have a really good webpage called Buying Grass Seed for Minnesota Lawns, very appropriately named. And you can get that at extension.umn.edu. And we have a section on there on where to find grass seed, what to look for. But in principle, I would just buy non-coated grass seed. You tend to get what you pay for. So, in terms of quality. So I would, buy from a reputable source. But check out that Buying Grass Seed for Minnesota Lawns extension webpage.
Very good. Yeah, good idea. That's a great idea. It's a great resource for a lot of things. We'll talk about that coming up. Listeners sent this. I received a tulip plant the week before Easter. The leaves wilted, so I cut it down. Now what do I do with it?
Well, those are forced bulbs, meaning that they have been planted in that pot and put into cold storage by the grower, taken out of cold storage after a certain period of time, and then they started to come up and bloom, and that's what you got in your bulb garden. Because those bulbs are forced, they often have utilized a lot or all of the energy in that bulb for any kind of future blooming. So most people will compost those bulbs. You can go ahead and try to plant them. You can keep them through the summer, water them, or let them dry out after a while, and then go ahead and try to plant them. But the likelihood of them blooming again would be at least a few years down the road, because they would have to go through several seasons to probably get enough energy in their bulbs to bloom again. So most people will compost those and just, buy new bulbs in the fall and go ahead and plant those.
All right. I'm looking at a text that makes my day complete now. The show is complete. Is now a good time to treat Creeping Charlie?
Oh, there
it is. Yeah, actually, the spring is probably the second best time to try to treat Creeping Charlie. It's second to only to the late fall. But right now can be effective with the cooler temperatures, a little bit higher moisture. The product that you would want to look for, that really the only one that works, is the active ingredient triclopyr. So active ingredient is like the ibuprofen of Advil. There's a couple of different products on the market that have them. We also have an extension webpage on managing Creeping Charlie in lawns. So where we talk about this, but this is basically what you need to know. You can buy this product at most garden centers. Sometimes it's marketed as an oxalis, chickweed, and ground ivy killer. For the rest of the world, rest of the U.S. that calls Creeping Charlie ground ivy.
All right, very good. And some people make tea out of it, right? I've heard.
I guess so. Yuck.
All right, Julie and John, hang on, please. We're going to have a look at that forecast, and we'll come back. We'll have another half hour or so of our Smart Garden Show, so stay with us, please. News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long back with Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M, answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have this morning, and we have many of them. Here's one I expected, and maybe more than one, John and Julie. Is it too early to rake my lawn?
It isn't too early. I think as the lawn starts to grow, I would just question what the need is. It raking the lawn can help if you've got, say, if you've lost some grass because of snow mold, or if you have some really significant bole damage. But, a lot of times all that you're really doing is just getting the lawn to green up a little bit faster. But, you can, if you'd like to go out and do that and, start working in the yard and garden, by all means, I say go for it. But no, it's probably not too early, especially if the grass is actively growing.
Very good. Julie, this person would like to try to grow tomatoes in grow bags. You got to tell me about that this summer. Any suggestions for success?
Grow bags are a great type of container to use for growing plants, especially if you're limited on any kind of ground that you have, like garden space in the ground. They are big canvasy type bags. They drain well, so they are good choices for that. You can buy them in different sizes. Some come very small if you wanted to just plant some little bit of flowers or something, or herbs. But you can also buy very large grow bags, sometimes they're called, that you can grow trees in, even temporarily, in order to move them. They also are lighter weight, so you can move them around a little bit. You could certainly grow tomatoes in grow bags. That you want to choose a large grow bag for tomatoes, because they have a very big root system, And that will also help with them not drying out quite as fast. And that's one thing to pay attention to with the grow bags, because they're porous. They're going to dry out faster than, say, a plastic pot. Nice thing about grow bags is at the end of the season, you take out the plant, you compost it, and you can go ahead and wash those out and just fold them up and put them in your put them in a closet or in your garage, and they're easy to store. So that's another advantage to that.
Dexter heard us talking about fertilizing a rhubarb. Says, I've never done that. What do you say? What's the process there?
Well, rhubarb is considered a big feeder. In other words, it needs fertilizer. It has big leaves to support, big strong petioles. Those are the parts of the stem, air quotes here, that we eat. And so you do want to fertilize that. And you want to start fertilizing it right before, when you start to see it coming up. Mine's coming up now in my backyard, so now would be a good time to apply fertilizer. I would use like a vegetable fertilizer. They usually are kind of geared toward production. You don't want to use a straight nitrogen fertilizer, because you're going to end up with a lot of big, huge green leaves and maybe not as much of the petiole. But you could just use an all-purpose vegetable fertilizer, and that should do the trick for that. And then just follow the package instructions, the mixing, how much to put down, and that should keep your rhubarb pretty productive through the season.
I always like to ask what's going on at the Arboretum these days. There's always something going on.
Yeah, so there's three big events that are happening coming up. One of them is Arbor Day celebration. This, of course, is the day we honor the beauty and the importance of trees in our landscapes, and lots of activities happening there. That's on April 25th. The same day is Arboretum Bird Day, and this is for people who are beginners who want to get into birding, all the way to people who are advanced birders and experienced. It's a customized day of sessions. There's lots of different speakers, keynote speakers, walks, talks, etc. And this is for people who are interested in birding. So that's also on April 25th, so same day. And then the Arboretum Plant Sale, which is an annual event in May. This year it's on May 8th and 9th. These are free to anybody coming into the Arboretum, whether you're a non-member and buy a ticket, or if you're a member and come into the Arboretum, you can go to the plant sale. But you do have to get a ticket. And the reason for that is that the staff has found it's much better to kind of moderate the flow of people. Otherwise, everybody will come in at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it'll be a zoo. So get your tickets now. They're available. They're free. You just have to get into the Arboretum to use them. And the plant sale is up at the farm at the Arb. That's where John and Laura have their offices. And we have a lot of things to see there, too. So it's a really great event. There's lots and lots of plants. These are not plants necessarily grown by the Arboretum, but they're grown in collaboration with commercial growers around the Minnesota area.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I would imagine you want more info, just get on the Arb website, I would imagine, right?
Yep, arb.umn.edu.
Very good. This listener, John and Julie, wondering if a person needs to mow their grass for the first time before they put the spring weed and feed on, and when's a good time to put that stuff on?
Well, really any time that you just mow as needed. As far as the, fertilizer or herbicide applications, you tend to want to put those down after mowing, because you don't necessarily want to mow off the any of the product that may have been put down. It may also help with getting the product, depending upon what it is, down to the soil or onto the plants you want. Now, just specifically, since somebody brought up weed and feed, we tend to not recommend it per se. In terms of a weed control strategy, the best thing to do is just focus on fertilizer-only products and then spot treating weeds where they exist, and use it more of a targeted approach for targeting which weeds are wherever they are at in your lawn, as opposed to applying the weed and feed product, which is applying a herbicide across your whole lawn. So if you haven't already bought it, then consider buying a little hand sprayer, or buying pre-mixed weed sprays. They tend to be more effective at controlling weeds anyways, so that's an overall better strategy. But if you already have the weed and feed product already purchased, and you're looking to apply it,
right now is a great time. Try to time it right before a light rain.
Oh, very good. Julie, this listener sent a text that says this: can I trim now what I call the Minnesota cedar you see in the ditches along the roadway, the ones the deer don't eat?
Yeah, that's the red cedar, eastern red cedar. It's one of our native junipers. Yes, you can go ahead and prune that right now. That's a kind of a tree that's a love-hate tree. People really like it. I like it. I think it's a great tree. And then some people really hate it. So, so yes, you can certainly prune it now.
Speaking of trimming, this listener wants to know that they have a sculptural arborvitae, I think, they say, that I need to shape every year. Some of it has yellowed over the winter. Can I trim it now?
Yeah, with arborvitae, the best thing to do is wait until you see new growth coming and then take your shear and just knock off that new growth. And that at that point, you can shape it. That yellow, any kind of yellowing of that foliage is going to probably just drop off on its own anyway. You give it a little shake, it might fall off even. But usually with arborvitae, we just want to kind of knock back that new growth. You don't want to go too deeply into pruning arborvitae because you tend to create too much new growth, and then that tends to only grow on the outside of the plant, and you get these big gaps on the inside. So you want to leave a little bit of light, the ability for light to get into the inner part of that plant. So that's why we just say it's called a loose shear. You just shear it off and just knock off that new growth, and you can do that a couple of times in a season.
Generally speaking, I'm looking at a text, John, that questions, can I plant grass seed now or wait until the nights are warmer?
I would try to plant as soon as possible. You know, if we do get any kind of lower temperatures, maybe even a frost or two, maybe that might help work the seed down into the soil to promote seed-to-soil contact, which is just so critical for really any type of seed to germinate. I would put the seed down as soon as possible, especially if you can time it right before any kind of rainfall event.
This listener has a lawn with a lot of white clover, which they say I like for pollinators and diversion for the rabbits. But under my crab apple tree, millions of seeds drop, which sprout. Now, how can I kill these tree seeds without hurting the grass and clover?
Really, your best bet there is just to continue mowing as you normally would. They tend to mow out over time, and I understand it can be frustrating, especially if they're smaller crab apples. Sometimes they can persist, but chemically, there's very little to no options that would work that wouldn't also affect your white clover. Now, technically, I believe 2,4-D can be white clover can be fairly tolerant of 2,4-D as the active ingredient, but it's pretty difficult to find something that's labeled for lawns that doesn't also contain something else that would also affect the white clover. So if you can find that and it's labeled for lawn use, you could potentially use that to control those crabapple seedlings, but otherwise just mow. They may persist a little bit longer. That's one of the downsides of trying to plant more like a bee lawn or a pollinator lawn or a lawn with clover is it limits your weed control options like in this case.
Okay. Julie, is it too early? Listener wants to know to put preen down.
I would look at the packaging of preen. I don't know, John, if you have any thoughts on this. I take it they want to put preen on their vegetable garden or their flower garden. And so you'd want to use the correctly labeled product.
In terms of, you know, in the context, I can't speak for the active ingredient preen, but I would presume that it's probably targeting the many of the same weed species that our folks are worried about emerging in their lawns. Right now is actually the perfect time for applying a crabgrass preventer or pre-emergent. And I would assume that this was also going to be the case just because soil temperatures are just slowly creeping up. They're in the high 40s right now for the lower third half of Minnesota. So that's right around the time that a lot of the annual grassy or broadleaf weed species, the summer annuals, begin to germinate and emerge in the springtime. And that's you really want to get preen or any other pre-emergent down before they germinate and emerge.
The only caution to that is if you're planning to put it on a vegetable garden and you've seeded the vegetable garden, like I have in mine, You do not want to apply a pre-emergent at that point because it's going to prevent the seeds from germinating that you've planted. So it tends to be, you know, where are you putting it? What type of garden is it? Don't put it where you've put seeds or you plan to put seeds.
All right. All right, Julie and John, hang on, please. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back with more text messages, and we have a bunch. Stay with us, Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Julie Wazenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M. I was mentioning to Julie and John, I don't think I've ever seen so many text messages, and we get a lot of text messages on this show, but this was phenomenal, this has been. And I've been thinking, you know, for those that have never tried it, the extension website is perfect, right? Tell us why.
Yeah, so this is a great resource, whether you get your question answered or not today. And you might come up with questions during the week when we're not around. It's extension.umn.edu. You want to visit Yard and Garden. And we have great, great content on that webpage. In fact, right on the homepage is that webpage that John was talking about, how to buy seed for Minnesota lawns. Also, we have showing there how to start seeds. And you can still start some seeds at this point. It's early April. And then also we have the Plant Elements of Design, which is a great plant selection program if you're looking for a plant for a particular location in your yard or garden. So you can go ahead and enter in the qualifications, the site conditions, etc., and go ahead and look at what plants we might recommend for that space. So it's a great site. Also has an excellent section on vegetables A to Z. So if you're wondering about growing potatoes or you're wondering about growing asparagus or tomatoes, that's a great place to look for everything from choosing the plants to actually harvesting and storing the plants. So great information on fruits as well, trees and shrubs, videos of the Hort Shorts, which are great short videos that Laura's been doing, and about specific topics associated with Minnesota gardening. So extension.umn.edu.
Just a great resource. Mm-hmm. Extension.umn.edu. Check it out. Looking at more text messages, Julie and John, here's one. My spirea bushes are growing into the driveway path. I would like to cut them back. Can I do that at this time of the year?
It depends on the spirea species. So some of them are bloom on new wood. In other words, the wood that they grow this spring. Those you could wait until after they bloom, and then you can cut them back. If you have spirea that bloom on old wood, that's the wood that was produced last year. I'm sorry, it's the opposite way. The wood that was produced last year has the buds for this spring. So once they're done blooming, if these are summer blooming spirea, then you can go ahead and prune those. If they're new, if they grow on new wood, you want to wait and go ahead. If they bloom on new wood, I'm screwing this up, but you can go ahead and wait on those a little bit or cut them back now. You can cut those back now. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That was not a very clear answer. Apologies.
Well, you're a little under the weather today.
I got too. A little head cold. I'm stuffed
yes.
up.
I have an area, texture says, that is all crabgrass. Now, if I top dress it with 2 inches of black dirt, will that smother the seeds?
Probably not, but that's a good question. Truthfully, crabgrass is not very shade tolerant, so that's actually one of the reasons why we recommend a taller mowing height, is it shades out the soil, prevents crabgrass seeds from that have germinated from emerging. So maybe that's a good strategy, but like we said earlier in the program, be cautious with adding any type of differing soil types to your site, because that can change the water movement introduce all kinds of other potential issues. So, but if crabgrass is your issue, a dense and healthy turf is your best defense against crabgrass. So anything that you can do following the lawn care calendar from the University of Minnesota is a great strategy for getting an overall healthier lawn to prevent crabgrass in the future.
All right. This listener has a very large hosta which needs to be divided. When is the best time to do that?
I think with hostas, the best time is spring. So when you see the plant starting to come up, you can dig it up, you can divide it, give it away, plant it somewhere else. and you're kind of done with it for the season, it has the whole summer then to recover from the trauma of being divided. And you also get a really nice form on the plant too. If you wait until hostas are up and they've got their, you know, their form is established for the year, then when you go to divide them, they look kind of wanky. They're flat on one side. They flop around. So right now is a great time once you see those plants starting to come up and those spears emerge. Good time to divide the hosta.
Very good. Listener wants to know, are there varieties of dogwood trees that are hardy enough for the Twin Cities area?
Dogwood trees. I don't know, John, do you know of any dogwood species? I don't think I do.
Well, there's the red osier dogwood, which
that's
is
a shrub, though.
Yeah, not quite a tree. I know, unfortunately, I'm a little unfamiliar. I know the flowering dogwood is just recently, technically, for parts of the metro area, is now hardy enough. But okay. Quite anecdotally, I planted a couple last year, and it looks like they all winter killed. So, I wish I had a better answer.
Yeah, I usually it's best to stay within the zone that you're in, though some people do push it.
Another dividing question here. Dalmatian irises are already coming up. When's the right time to divide those?
You want to do that after they bloom, so roughly around early July or so, you can go ahead and divide them and replant them and clean them up.
Okay. Got about a minute or so to go, a minute and a half. Rabbits have chewed off all the bark on my young plum tree over the winter. Is this tree doomed? Is first question. Also, how do I control the Japanese beetles that destroy my fruit trees?
Well, those are two loaded questions. So the first one is it depends how badly the rabbits have chewed into your plum tree. They'll girdle the tree. In other words, they'll chew through the important vascular system that's just below the bark and will cut off basically that vascular system, anything coming from the roots up to the plant. So I would just baby it along. Again, it depends how badly they've girdled it. And by babying it, I mean water it, mulch it, and then be sure to protect it. If it makes it through the summer, be sure to fence it from rabbits next year. And we have a good website on that under our trees and shrubs section. As far as the Japanese beetles, I'm going to just point you toward our webpage because it's kind of early to be worrying about Japanese beetles. They don't appear until late June, early July. But go ahead and take a look at our managing Japanese beetles in lawns and landscapes.
All right. And, John, I know we've got 20 seconds to go here. If you want any more lawn care information, get on the website, right?
Always. Great starting point.
Yeah, extension.umn.edu. And, of course, get to the Arboretum.
Yes.
Julie and John, always a pleasure. Always fun having you on the radio here. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Denny.
Thank you, Denny.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.